and welcome to the Trev and Ben podcast. How are you, Ben?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Well, I'm excited. It's been a very exciting week in Croydon.
Has it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it on fire again?
No. Even better than that.
What's going on?
The local tip has reopened.
Hey!
I think that's a landmark moment in the coming out of lockdown phase, isn't it?
It is. I've heard the queues are like hours long, aren't they? They're around the block.
I would imagine that is the case, yeah. I couldn't believe it. My local newspaper, massive headline this week. People in South London able to take their rubbish to the tip again. Thought, bloody hell.
Is that this is 2020.
Is that really the thing that's come out of lockdown? I mean, you know, I still don't believe we should be out of lockdown quite yet anyway. We shouldn't be. The tip shouldn't be a matter of importance. Do you know what I mean? We haven't got the thing about going back to school right yet. Nobody seems to quite get their head around that still seems fucking dangerous.
Listen, why are people going to get to the tip? I think personally that if in lockdown, when everyone's so fucking miserable, we need to cling on to every small modicum of joy and hope. And if the tip being opened is one of them, I'm all for it. Open the tips!
But don't you think it says a lot about society in a lockdown period where going to the tip, which is a miserable experience in the best of times, is something that people are now excited about.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but let's take the small victories where we can get them, shall we?
And I tell you what, those little Hitlers that run the rubbish tips, they're going to be in their element. I mean, they're so defensive about the right skip in normal times. Imagine how it's going to be when you've got a social distance at the right skip. They're going to be marching around like the fucking Gestapo.
Well, you see, I've got quite a devious mind. Like, if there's a rule that I can bend, then let's do it. Because I'm thinking that they no longer are going to be able to insist that they come and check my bags or anything like that. So maybe if there's some stuff that I just want to get rid of that maybe I shouldn't be getting rid of or in the wrong bit of the tip,
yeah,
I can just leave it there now, insist they keep their 2 meter social distancing from me, and by the time they get to that bag, I'll be back in the car and off.
Well, that I'm not sure that's the right attitude, Ben. Do you know what I mean? I mean, somebody's going to have... Where you've left your shit in the wrong place, somebody's then got to deal with that shit being in the wrong place. I'm all for things going in the right skip, Ben. I don't want you misinterpreting my intentions here. Things need to go in the right skip. You can't be leaving stuff willy-nilly around the dump anymore.
Well, just for example, right, one thing that pisses me off about the dump is that if you've got, say, beer cans, which, you know, I might have a few of,
yeah,
you've got to put them into this stupid thing,
yeah,
which is only like big enough for one can at a time, one by one by one. You'll be there for bloody hours.
Well, how many beer cans have you got? Because,
well, quite a few in lockdown.
Well, I've got a massive wheelie bin outside my house for tins and things. Every 2 weeks, that's emptied. I barely get that a third full most fortnights. How many tins have you got?
But what's wrong with me just putting that all in a bag and throwing it in with the metal?
Well, I don't...
But it is metal, isn't it?
Well, yes, I don't know what the answer to that is. It might be a different sort of metal. I don't know. It's an aluminium.
I only flout the stupid rules.
Rules aren't always stupid, Ben. A lot of them are, I'll give you that. But let's not flout the rules and the tip. But the point I wanted to make was that this shouldn't be an exciting event.
No, you're probably right, but there we are.
Maybe you've turned it into an exciting event by turning it into like a little Mission Impossible thing.
Wait, another good news. It means I can finally stop fly tipping.
The other news I read this week, which maybe I've got a solution here. I do wonder why people don't come and ask me for solutions when there's a problem facing society. Surely, okay, by now, at the age of 42, I've earned the right to be the sort of sage of the United Kingdom, you know, with sensible solutions to problems. Because let's face it, no other fucker's coming up with a sensible solution to anything. So
what have you got?
Well, I was reading this week that pubs are going to have to throw away 70 million pints of beer.
Wow. I mean, that is a tragedy.
I could almost sense the despair that's going through your mind at the moment.
That's terrible.
So here's my thinking, right? So rather than throwing all of that away, that's such a waste of booze. that could be going to good causes.
Give it to the homeless.
Well, you could give it to the homeless. Yeah. I think you could stand outside the hospitals and when the NHS staff come off shift, give them a free pint.
Absolutely.
I think that's fair enough. I put that to someone recently. When you're not suggesting you get the NHS staff pissed, they've got enough going on. I'm not just give them a pint when they come off shift. It's not going to impair them the following shift, is it, surely?
No. I mean, maybe. I'd also like to point out that my joke about giving it to the homeless was a joke. That wasn't a serious suggestion before anyone starts giving me hate for it.
But what I'm thinking is, Ben, is that yes. what they could do is, a bit like in sort of old-fashioned times, they have a sort of horse and cart. I mean, it could be a van, but I think a horse and cart would be a romantic way of doing this. And a bit like the old rag and bone man. And you go around the streets, you ring a bell, and if you fancy a pint, you pop out, stand a socially distancing, acceptable distance from the landlord on the horse cart, and from the keg he will pour you a pint, and you can give a little donation or pay for the pint, but the fact they're going to throw it away, they could probably give you a very reduced rate, and then you're not, you know, people aren't getting absolutely shit faced because you're not going to be able to just drink endlessly. You might be able to fill up an old bottle or something. You wouldn't have all the cans to get rid of, and yet every day you could get 2 litres of booze at a reduced rate, and none of this would be going to waste. It would boost morale. I mean, imagine what would go through your mind every time you heard that bell ring in the street.
Like the ice cream
van chimes when you're a kid.
Yeah, I wonder what the chime would be.
Well, I was just thinking an old-fashioned bell, but yeah, why not? I was thinking like the old bar bell, but yeah, why not have a chime? If you maybe commandeer ice cream vans.
Yeah, because I'm all on board for this, but I don't really see the relevance of having a horse. That just seems to add to the problem.
No, I was just making it like it would be very romantic. You'd hear the clip clop.
Shit all over the roads.
You'd hear the clip clop. That lovely. I mean, as a kid, did you not get excited when the rag and bone man would come down the street?
Well, okay, what we'll do is then, to satisfy your needs and mine, we'll get rid of the horse, but we'll make the siren on the ice cream van the noise of a horse's clip clopping.
It's not a siren, it's a chime.
Did I say siren?
Yes, it's like this isn't an emergency service.
Well, it is when they're delivering beer.
Yeah, I don't, what number would that be? All right, you got a phone for your beer.
I think 999.
Well, no, there's two. You can't be clogging up 999 for emergency booze calls. What service do you require? Landlord. I mean, you know, it's just, and when you're pissed, the numbers all look the same. I think it should just be 000 because then that's easy. Okay. I'm not. What I'm talking about is they're just coming round the street every day. So you haven't got to phone them. Every day you'll hear that chime, and the chime could be, I don't know, like a booze song. What was that Chumbawamba song?
Tub Thumping.
Yeah, it could be like Tub Thumping, couldn't it?
Has that got anything to do with beer?
Well, it's all about booze, isn't it? Get a whiskey drink, get a cider drink.
Of course it is. Yeah, I forgot drink, that verse.
Well, that's the chorus, not even the verse. It's the main thrust of the song.
No, the main thrust of Tub Thumping is I get knocked down and I get up again, which could be about boxing for all I know.
No, it's after you're pissed, isn't it? It's like you drink all of that, you fall over, you get up again. Next day, they come back round, bell, you're on it again.
Oh, and of course, the pissing the night away lyric as well.
Yes,
I've
yes.
really misunderstood that song for
Entirely.
Years.
Entirely. I don't know what you thought. It was about. So there's one option for the song for you. But anyway, I think I've solved some of the social problems that are facing the UK right now.
Well done.
So some football was back this week. The German Bundesliga and the German football got back. Did you watch any of it?
I didn't. I'm not really fussed about the Bundesliga.
Well, I watched just because it was live football. I watched one of the games, and I've got to say it was weird watching a match that's quite an important, you know, top of the league derby in Germany in an empty stadium.
Yeah, like I said to you last week, I watched the UFC with no crowd, and that was strange.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded to me like my mate said it sounded like, this is how perhaps I think differently, he said it sounded like a five-a-side game in a gym. To me, it sounded like people shouting at a swimming gala. Do you know what I mean? Like when I was a kid, that sound when you're in a swimming pool, the Cubs swimming gala,
yes.
And you get the competitive parents shouting and that echo. That's what it sounded. I never really did five-a-side in a gym, so that wasn't a sound that resonated, but that's what it sounded like to me. But I tell you the weird thing about it. Well, a few weird things struck me. One was they still had a stadium and announcer.
Okay.
So when the goal was scored, they played a bit of music and announced the goal scorer. Who are they announcing that to? There's no.
Well, presumably, they knew it was televised. But mind you, there are commentators.
Yes. So what does it matter? I mean, don't get me wrong. It's good that they're getting work. We, you know, our old mate Paul Burrell, when the Premier League comes back and there's no crowd at the Emirates, at least he can still be there announcing. But I thought, what is the point of that? They were still playing music at half time. Who are they playing it to?
So there were goals scored in this game, yeah?
It was the one I watched was, I think it was 4-0, yeah.
4-0.
Yeah.
Now, I've got to ask, the big question in my mind is when the goals went in.
Yeah.
Did the players celebrate in the same way they would have without the crowd?
No, because that too. The weird thing was, they saw, even though they've all been slide tackling, knocking each other about, they then sort of celebrated in a social distancing type way, which is, it's too late now.
So you can slide tackle somebody.
Yeah.
But you, and tackle them and run into them, shoulder charge them, but you have to socially distance when you celebrate.
Yeah, I mean, there was no like high fiving, no hugging, nothing like that. It was all kind of, you know, maybe I think there was like a little, you know, the elbow thing and all of that. But I thought, well, it's a bit late now. You've been, you know, tackling each other. You've been more than close. Do you know what I mean? So I thought that was a weird thing.
And the other thing footballers are famous for, and I'm not sure if it's true of German football, I think it is universally true of footballers, is gobbing.
Well, that annoyed me. That annoyed me.
That was happening, was it?
Well, I didn't notice it until the half-time whistle went, and then they had a camera on one of the players walking off, and he gobbed. Now, I read... Well,
we should probably quickly explain for any American listeners that gobbing means spitting.
Spitting. Yeah. So I read a couple of weeks ago when they were talking about bringing football back that might be a bookable offence. Now, clearly that hasn't been followed through, because then in the second half I was noticing it a lot more because I'd noticed it. And I thought, well, there shouldn't be spitting. That should be a bookable offence in this day and age.
It should be. I completely agree. And, you know, sliding through each other's gob but then socially distancing after a goal scored, it's madness. Unless they thought, you know, we must set a good example. So even after we score a goal, let's send out the message of social distancing. That I could get on board with.
Well, the weird thing was... I wish I could remember the teams I was watching. I can't for the life of me remember what game I watched, but...
Wasn't this on yesterday?
It was, yeah. I can't remember what I watched.
Okay.
But whoever won, 4-0, whoever they were, at the end, they obviously normally do like a... I don't know if they normally do like a slide or they get in all in a line and hands up towards where the crowd are. So what they did was they lined up facing what presumably would be the home stand behind the goal, and then socially distanced, they actually sort of put their arms up so they could be the right distance apart, and then walk towards the stand applauding. I thought, who are you applauding? There's no one there.
That's really weird.
It was bizarre.
I suppose it was more of a gesture than anything. But it's strange.
And the other thing I thought was everyone on the touchline, and when a sub went off, they then had to put a face mask on. The managers didn't have face masks on, I noticed, but everyone else seemed to. I suppose because perhaps it's hard for the manager to shout instructions. I thought it would be quite hard, I suppose, to do that with a face mask. But I think they should learn sign language if that's, you know, the rules are the rules. But then I thought, wouldn't that be perfect for the modern day footballer who always covers their mouth when they talk to an opponent? Or a teammate, you know, because they don't want the cameras to pick up. Just put on a face mask. No one can say what you want then.
Perfect.
It's a perfect solution to a problem that has invaded the modern game.
It would be. One thing I saw, I was going to bring this up later on, but it seems like a good time to do it now, was actually in a Korean baseball team, their fans, because they can't be there and their league has restarted, the Korean baseball organization, the KBO, has kicked off again this month. And what their fans have been doing for one team is they've been sending life-size cardboard cutouts of themselves to be put in the stands.
It's a good idea, that. It's a good
idea. To help morale.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think football teams should definitely do that. I remember back in the 90s when football grounds had to become all-seater and going to Highbury where they had the mural where the stand was, where they painted fans pictures of fans, so it looked like a crowd. And I believe they played crowd noises through that end as well. But it was a bit naff. I mean, it was a bit. But I mean, it's a good idea when you need people. And I saw one player this week recommend that perhaps they play oohs and ahs in when a shot goes wide. But that's quite a logistical nightmare for whoever's in charge of the sound, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean, the sound guy on the hotkeys to play in those noises has to be on his game, isn't
it? Yeah.
I just wanted to ask you, and I don't want to turn this into a sports podcast or get really boring about it, but just very quickly.
Yeah.
The fact that Liverpool have been absolutely running away with the Premier League this season.
Yeah.
And it looks for all that's likely that they're going to win it.
Yeah.
Do you think at this point the league should be abandoned and quit and given up on? Or do you think we should say, you know what, let's end it here, Liverpool win?
Well, I don't think you can end it and then award the league. That's okay. My thing. I think, I mean, there's a bit of me that thinks, yeah, you should just abandon it and it will be so funny. It would be. No, it would be. I mean, I'm sorry, Liverpool fans, but it would be hilarious. You've waited 30 years and then you get fucked over by the coronavirus. But it would be funny. But on the other hand, you see, if you award the league title, then you can't. You've then got to relegate. Do you know what I mean? You can't just stop and go, well, nothing else counts but Liverpool win the league. And Don't get me wrong, I don't think any fan would begrudge it. And I certainly wouldn't begrudge it if they were given it. But I don't think that would be the fair solution. I think you either have to complete it or you null and void the season.
Oh, I mean, that'll piss off the Scousers.
Yeah, that's funny though, isn't it? Let's welcome now to the podcast an old mate of ours, Ben. It's Andy Stevens. Hello, Andy.
Hello, how are you both?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Got to say, loving the lockdown. Absolutely loving it.
Just for people who don't know, Andy's an old mate of ours from the radio we used to be on. And it's just nice to hook up with you. And particularly this week, because this week is Mental Health Awareness Week for 2020. And we know from the work we've done with you in the past that you're heavily involved in awareness around mental health. And I think at the moment, it's a really important issue because the lockdown has been great for some people, as you were saying, you've been loving it. It's a chance to recharge, but other people have suffered. So, what do you think lockdown has done for some people? Obviously, it's been good for you. Why is that?
Well, a few years ago, I was diagnosed with complex PTSD and depression, and went through a pretty rough time. You know, I wasn't far off finishing it all. An ambulance got here just in time. But when you reach that level, there's only one way forward, and that's up. And then when this whole lockdown started, I think, you know, a few close friends were concerned. But what I've done is part of the recovery process, I suppose, is one way of putting it, is you've got to focus on the positives. There's no point in getting up thinking, oh, we've got another day in lockdown. Oh, it's awful. There's actually a lot to take from this in a positive light. And obviously, being in construction, we have had no clear guidelines, about as clear as the mud we work in, sadly, from government. So we've had a lot of time at home. Some people have worked all the way through. But the positives I've used is, unless you're out of work, you're not going to have this time with your kids again. So it's a good opportunity to spend time with them. And I don't mean sitting there watching telly, but, you know, making things, being creative, doing stuff together. I've completely reset myself. Almost subconsciously, it's been great. I've looked at the work I'm doing and areas that I've struggled with, areas that I need to improve on, and areas that I need to really focus on that are doing well. So, and I think the other thing, which is a massive positive to society, is the fact that, you know, it's been bandied around a lot, but this key worker expression, now to me, it's, I call them essential workers. People with proper jobs are being held in a different light. And what I mean by that is supermarket workers, obviously NHS, emergency services, delivery drivers, bin men. Without these people, society would grind to a halt. And I think it's great that everyone doing these roles are being looked at in a positive way, whereas possibly before they weren't. And the positive thing out of that is people feel good about their job, but also we can get some youngsters into some of these roles. You know, be more people are going to want to be a nurse or in emergency services. So I think there's a lot of positive things to take from it. It's as positive as you make it. That's the point. It's if you focus on the positives when you wake up, what can you achieve? What can you do? Then you'll get a lot from it.
And the theme of Mental Health Awareness Week is kindness. And I think, you know, we've seen a lot more of that. Ben and I, we were talking a few weeks back about you just saying a little thing to someone in the supermarket behind the counter and just thanking them for their work and what a difference that made to them.
Yeah, and I've noticed as well, just in general, interacting with people on the street, there's been a lot more courtesy, awareness, thankfulness, and just... A sort of sense of we're all in this together, so let's respect each other's distance and then be grateful for doing that, and why not give someone a smile and a wave and a hello, even if it's a complete stranger. And I've found that to be a really lovely outcome of the lockdown.
Definitely. And how good do you feel when you do a good thing for someone else or comment positively about them working behind the till in the supermarket or delivering a parcel? Rather than before, you almost sort of turned a blind eye to it. It's different now that you thank them, and it makes you feel good as well as them. And I think that's the key point: being positive, thanking people. The 8 o'clock Thursday night clap for the NHS. You know, I get emotional. It's like, what's going on here? But you know, you can hear everybody else doing it, and you're right, Ben. You people pulling together is giving a lot of people going through a difficult time that positivity. And as simple as saying good morning to someone you pass in the street. I mean, you know, before lockdown, you wouldn't think of it. You wouldn't even look at them. But it's different now, as you say, and I think it's great.
Mrs. Ben will always tell anyone that I'm made of stone. I mean, she'll be sitting there watching Britain's Got Talent sobbing her eyes out, and I'm sitting there thinking, right, who's the next chump to come on?
Can I just say that when I watch Britain's Got Talent, I am often in tears, but that's because it's on.
There's been something about the 8 o'clock clap for the NHS on Thursday nights that... I don't know what it is. It's like communal spirit or people suddenly getting together behind a cause. And that really gets me choked up. I can't take it anymore. I want to stop the clap.
I think you're right, Ben. I think if you look at this, certainly in our lifetime, we've not had anything like this. All right, you go back to the Second World War, Spanish flu. But in our lifetime, we've had nothing where we've had to pretty much be stuck in our homes. And when you are allowed out for your exercise or your shop, you make an effort sort of subconsciously with Joe Public or someone in the supermarket or your bin man, and it just makes everyone feel great. And I think that's the big positive to come out of this. The only concern for me, will it carry on once the rat race starts again and everyone gets back into normality?
Well, that's what I was going to say, because I think actually there's the danger that those that have been in lockdown where it perhaps hasn't been quite the good experience for them. So for example, like yesterday, my road, you've known me long enough that I moan about my road a lot. It's a noisy road, there's often arguments and stuff. Throughout lockdown, it's been quieter, it's been a sort of nicer road. But this week, a couple of the businesses on my road have reopened, and already we've had a couple of huge rows, almost a full-on fight. And I think there's a lot of tension that's built up in people, particularly if you're in a household that's quite full and you've not been able to get away. There's probably quite a lot of tension. So I think we're going to need to find ways of just getting, but you know, it's all very well people rushing back into work and getting back on the tube and the buses. I think we might find that there's a lot of tension that's going to need to be released before we can feel that things have got better. And hopefully it can be done in a healthy way and we can find a way of all living together in a happier environment as a result of this.
Well, I think when we were put on lockdown, what, best part, a couple of months ago, 7 weeks ago, if you were struggling mentally with finances or relationship or kids or job or any day-to-day pressures, then sadly this lockdown was going to emphasise that. I think it's a test to anyone's mental health, especially, you know, I live on my own with the dog, absolutely love it. But it does strengthen you. But if you are living with people, kids or partners, and things have been tough before, this is only going to make things worse. And I think, sadly, what that has done is, almost as you say, Trev, you've got that built-up anger that needs to be released. And I think it's going to be interesting seeing people come back to work. You know, when what happens when those pubs open? You know, and this is all fueled with booze. Is that going to kick off in another way? And I just don't think there's government have done enough about the mental health side of it, because some of the charities I work with have said their call rates are up 55% prior to lockdown because of people suffering with mental health issues. Now, it doesn't matter if that charity's got, you know, looking after 10 people or a million and 10 people, that's a fairly sizable number. And at last, mental health being looked at, which is good. It's the same as physical health, but you just can't see it. But is enough being done? Still, it's not. And as you say, Trevor, it is a slight worry when we all come out of this. How are people going to react with all that 2 months plus of pent-up aggression varying with partners, kids, neighbour, whatever? So it'll be interesting to see.
And not only that, a lot of people will be dealing with grief. Grief at losing someone that they've not been able to work through in the normal way, because you've not been able to do your normal goodbyes, you may not have been able to go to a funeral. That's a massive, massive thing for a lot of people that they're going to be facing.
I haven't actually told you guys, I lost one of my rugby mates to coronavirus about 3-4 weeks ago. And obviously with the guidelines at the time, we couldn't attend his funeral. So it was done on a live webcast, which kept breaking down. The vicar then told one of the two speakers to hurry up because there were time constraints. It was so tough because you couldn't, A, give him the respect and send-off he deserved. You know, incredible man. But also, as you say, Trev, you can't mourn. You know, there wasn't that togetherness afterwards of going for a drink or going for something to eat or whatever you do. It was very much, oh, hang on, the webcast is finished. Is that it? And again, subconsciously or consciously, that's going to do a lot to your mental health. So it will be interesting to see how we release ourselves back into society with extra issues on top of what we had before, such as losing someone close to us, not going to the funeral, financial pressures, relationship, bills. It's that's one thing the government haven't looked at. It's almost like holding up a sort of, you know, a rabid dog in a cage for 2 months and then letting the door open. You don't know how he's going to react.
So the charities that you work with, what kind of advice are they giving to people to try and work some of these things through? What's a good way of working through these issues?
The big sort of couple of points which has sort of resonated amongst all of them is, well, it's slightly different now, but take advantage of your outside time. Whereas before it was one session of exercise and now it's unlimited. You know, luckily for Britain, we've got, you know, weather in the early 20s, seems to be carrying on for a bit. Get out and go for walks. I mean, I found a place which I was aware of but hadn't been to near me where I take the dog, and it's just meadows, knee-length grass, flowers, the Thames. It's stunning. Go and look at the sky. It's never been this blue before because we haven't got any planes up there. And the other thing is as well is if you're like me, which you don't know 1 minute what you're doing to the next, try and get an organised day, because otherwise it's Groundhog Day and you kind of lose track of what you should be doing or what you could be doing. So set a little routine. You know, you have breakfast at a certain time, you go for a walk in the morning, or you do try and do a bit of work, or you've got some bills to look out. And this is the other thing. The positives, I mean, I've done it, which for me, as you guys know, is a miracle. I've sat down and looked at all my insurance policies for the companies, my gas, my electric, my phone, and I have car insurance, van insurance. I've been on to every single one of them and saved myself a fortune. And getting off that phone to an insurance company or a gas provider, knowing you've shaved a huge percentage off your bill, that's another good thing to feel good about. So it's using the time constructively. It's very easy to get up, you know, sit in your pants all day, put the telly on and not move, but that's not going to help. Getting out, fresh air, good walks, appreciating what you've got around us, and then setting your day to do things that you, if you live with anyone, will benefit from, such as your bills or actually give the place a damn good spring clean. You know, little things like that. It's easy to be in that cycle of getting up, telly on, not doing anything. You've got to be quite determined, otherwise it just doesn't happen.
And I guess the other thing is finding other ways to be social. You know, early on in lockdown, it was like, I didn't really want to be that sociable. But actually, as the weeks have gone on, I've done more and more things on Zoom or, you know, Google Hangouts and all these things. And doing a weekly pub quiz, this fantastic guy, Jay's Virtual Pub Quiz, who's raised so much money for charities now. And it's just a great hour where a few of us mates can all get together, have a bit of fun. And I tell you what, once you've done that, you feel so much better because you've just got back into a little bit of life. You know, I live on my own, so sometimes you feel a bit isolated. So it's nice to have that moment where it's like, oh, I'm not on my own. We can still have fun, still have a beer with my mates. It's not quite the same as sitting in a pub. But I think though, trying to work those into your week, even if it's just one a week, really helpful.
100%. One thing I've done, and as you guys know, I played at London Welsh for a decade, and from sort of 2000 onwards, we have a weekly Friday night virtual pub. It's great. We've had guys that have emigrated to Australia, New Zealand join us. Obviously, it's their breakfast. They don't have a choice. They still have to have a beer, bless them. But the other thing is as well, which I've found, make the effort to pick the phone up and speak to a mate that you may not have spoken to in a month, a year, 5 years. Just giving you a call, mate. Got the opportunity. Obviously, we're doing, you know, very little sitting here. How are you? What you been up to? And again, that will make him or her feel better, and you'll feel better asking how they are and having that reciprocated back to you. So it's a great opportunity to catch up and call people that you've not been in touch with for a while. Because, you know, once the rat race starts, you haven't got 2 minutes to, you know, make a cup of tea, let alone be on the phone all the time. So again, as you say, Trev, use it positively and speak to people. It's great hearing someone's voice after all these years.
Well, I think this is all really important stuff, Andy. I think we should just say that if anyone is struggling, there are plenty of places you can go for help. The Samaritans is one of those places. You can call them for free. 116 123 is that number. We'll give that at the end of the podcast as well. But if you are struggling, just make sure you talk to somebody. I think that's the big message to get out here. It's been fascinating talking to you about this, Andy. But will you stay with us for the rest of the podcast? Because I think, it, you know, part of us doing this podcast is to try and lift some spirits if people are having a bad day. If we can just give them a smile, you know, we're not the funniest people in the world, but if we can make you smile. So will you hang on and stay with us and have a bit of a laugh with us for the rest of the podcast?
Yeah, look forward to it. No problem.
So one thing we've been doing in the lockdown podcast, as Ben's favourite bit of the week this, Andy, is a game. We play a game.
Yes, we do.
We play a game to try and, you know, lift the spirits. And it's a game that you can play at home. You know, it's not a game that you need any equipment for. This is just a game you can play at home with your family. And we've done loads of different games that we did. What was the game you really loved? The skunk game. You liked that, didn't you, Ben?
That was terrible. I didn't mind 20 questions last week. That was okay.
20 questions. Well, this week I've got a game. It's called the humming game. It's a right. Musical game.
What a catchy title.
It's a good title. It says what it does on the tin, mate. Do you know what I mean? So, Andy, what we're going to do is I'm going to hum a tune, and you have to guess what the tune is. It's as easy as that. I can go on humming for as long as need be, depending on what the song is.
Do we get a clue on the song? Because obviously there's quite a few songs.
Well, I mean, it's quite a few songs out there.
Oh, Andy,
there?
You've made the first mistake that you're expecting clarification and rules and end. He doesn't have any of that.
Look, every week I have this, Andy, where he has a pop at me about the game. I keep telling him a game doesn't need an ending, it doesn't need a winner. Do you know what I mean? It's like a game, it's fun.
So you could still be humming at 3:45 in the morning with us sitting here having gone through hundreds of songs?
If need be, yes.
Right.
But what you're doing...
Welcome to hell, Andy. It's nice to have a friend with me this time.
But what you're doing is is underestimating my musical ability to transfer any song into a very recognisable hum. So then what your problem
is... I'm going to get a strong coffee. It's going to be a late night.
Right. Hang on a sec, Trev. Before we start, who wins here? Do you win for humming a song that we've correctly identified, or do we win for identifying it?
It doesn't really matter, does it? I mean...
Then what's the fucking point?
Well, no. I'll tell you what. If you guess it, you get a point. And I get a point. And then everyone's happy. I mean, there's no point in me getting a point if you can't guess it. So let's just say it's a point each.
Okay.
I don't know how we get to a winner, because if we all guess each other's,
well,
then
can't,
it's a draw.
Can you, as usual.
Well, then we'd have a tiebreak of some sort. Honestly, leave me alone.
All right, carry on.
Here we go. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I've got my iTunes open in front of me. So I'm just going to... if you just shout stop at some point, I'm just going to scroll down and you shout stop. So when you're ready,
shout
just...
stop now.
Okay. All right. I don't know that song. Then I'll do that again, right? Shout stop at any moment.
Oh, no, I meant can we stop the game?
No, we're not fucking stopping the game. You're going to love this game. I tell you what, you're going to be playing this with Mrs. Ben later, and I'll get a text from you going, Trev, that was a fucking amazing game. We hummed all night.
Well, since Andy's our guest, I'll let him shout stop.
All right, shout stop at any moment, Andy, any moment.
Stop.
Right, okay. Yeah, again, don't we know that song? I've got so much in my... okay,
you see,
no.
You see, Andy, right. Why I can't
here we
bear
go.
This every week.
I've got one. Here we go. Right. You ready?
Well, no one shouted stop for that one, did they? You just carried on your own.
Well, I thought we... You know, let's not...
Fuck me.
Let's not get bound down in the strolling and stopping. It's called the humming game, not the scroll
you
and fucking
to stop.
Stop. I know, but I didn't realise it was going to be so fucking complicated. Right, are we ready? Is everyone ready? Are we all happy with the rules?
Well,
here
no.
we go. Right. Here we go.
Oh my God.
I'm not even sure that's how it goes.
Oh, hang on, stop. Is it? I think I've got it.
Yeah?
It sounded a bit like Heartbeat.
Did it?
The theme tune to Heartbeat.
Well, it's not.
I've got a guess.
Yeah?
Was it the theme tune to the Flumps?
No. No. It's not. How does that go anyway? The theme tune to the Flumps. That's a great theme, by the way. If I can't.
Brilliant.
How does it go, Andy? The theme tune to the Flumps is.
Or is that Bod?
No, that's definitely the Flumps. I think we're definitely doing the Flumps there, but that's not what I'm humming. What I'm humming is.
What decade is it?
I'll get to the chorus. No, it's not fucking Heartbeat. I've already told you it's not fucking Heartbeat.
Well, then why are you humming Heartbeat?
Because I'm not humming Heartbeat. I'm humming a very well-known, huge song. Huge
Trev,
song.
To give you an idea how bad it is, the dogs just looked at me funny and walked off.
Well, he's got no fucking taste. I mean, honestly, if you can't have a dog enjoy this, there's no point in having a dog.
Can people download and listen to this?
I'm not charging them for it. I don't know what else to do for you to get this. I'll do a little bit of the chorus.
That's it. Go do the chorus, Trev.
I mean, I don't know what else to do. It's perfect.
Neither do I.
Stop recording.
I mean, you're not even throwing that many guesses. We've had the Flumps and Heartbeat twice. I could do with a little bit more help. Do you want a clue? I'll give you a clue, okay?
Is that in the rules?
Well,
just making it up as you go along.
I've told you the rules aren't important. It's the fun that matters.
Are you having fun, Andy?
It's going to be a long podcast, isn't it?
it's quite an old song. It's from 1967.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
No, but it's been re-released a few
21
times.
21 years before I was even born.
Well, that's your fault, isn't it? For being a fucking millennial. I suppose you're somehow entitled to a point, even though you got fuck all.
Go on, then.
1967?
Yeah.
You're right,
Sam. Sounds like a maniac laughing, doesn't it?
Sounds like he's having a turn.
Are you just giving up? Is that it?
Well, what happened to that clue you were promising?
Well, 1967. What mod do you want?
Well, that was a fucking clue, was it?
All right, Jesus. I'll give you an Irish. It's an Irish singer.
He's from 67.
Yeah.
Ben, do you know anyone near Trev that can go and check on him? It doesn't sound right.
Andy, do you remember the Crazy Frog?
Yes.
That's not 1967, is it?
I just thought it was what you said. just thought it was what you sounded like.
Are we giving up?
Is this person still alive that wrote the original song?
Still alive. Still going. And they're not necessarily in the charts these days, but they're still going.
Is it Vera Lynn?
I don't know. I think I'm going to have to give you the answer. It's very disappointing. It's Van Morrison, Brown Eyed Girl, isn't it? Do you remember when she used to sing?
It sounded fuck all like that, I'm afraid, Trev. We were never going to guess that.
Now, while we've got Andy Stevens with us on the podcast, Ben, I want to talk to him about ghosts, because I remember when we were on the radio with Andy, he would tell us about a haunting that, or something that you'd experienced, didn't you, Andy?
Yeah, I do remember it still, unfortunately, very well.
Can you just tell us what happened? Because then I want to tell you about... Hello. That's the dog.
Dogs pick up on ghosts.
No, I'll tell you what the dog's going there. He's going, it's Brown Eyed Girl, mate. It's Brown Eyed Girl. That's what he's saying. Fucking straightforward. Yeah. Brown Eyed Girl.
She's back. The dog's okay. I was staying with an ex-girlfriend years ago. In where was it? Herne Hill, Victorian sort of three-level house. Used to be a pub from all accounts. Cut a long story short, we were on the top floor. I woke up in the middle of the night and there was this thing standing in the wardrobe doors, literally sort of in front of the doors. I froze, couldn't go back to sleep, came down in the morning, and clearly the mum and dad could see that I hadn't slept, and they asked if I was all right, and I thought, I've got to be honest about this, there's no point in lying. I said, listen, you probably think I'm slightly mad, but there was a woman standing in the wardrobe staring at me in the early hours of the morning. Wow. And I absolutely bricked it, basically. And the mum, as calm as anything, turned around and said, long white dress, she had dark hair, woman, yeah, we see her all the time. Do you have sugar with your tea? I said, wow. And this ghost, after we broke up, she did not like women.
Right.
It was a woman that didn't like women. So when the mum or the daughter was in the house, there was all sorts going on, doors being opened, closed, their names being called. When the brother or dad was in there, nothing. And then just to top it off, just before we went travelling, I was out with my mates saying sort of cheerio because I was off for, 6 months or whatever. I had a phone call from the dad and his daughter, so my girlfriend, was in hospital with a suspected broken arm. I offered to obviously rush over and see her, and he said no. Spoke to her in the morning, and she was very honest, fair play to her, and she just said, listen, you know this ghost that you saw that I keep hearing, I was coming down from the top floor and she got a shove in the small of her back down the stairs and landed on her arm.
No way.
No one else in the house.
Wow.
And I have heard rumours, I mean this was years ago, I have heard rumours from sort of friends of friends that they got it exercised.
Well, it's good. Well, they're taking an hour a day out and about. It's good right now to do that.
Trev.
Oh, Jesus.
Managed to do a lockdown ghost joke. Well done.
Very proud of that.
I don't think many broadcasters will be anywhere near that level of wit and humour on lockdown. It's brilliant.
Quite right. It's quite, no wonder the BBC aren't knocking at my door. I don't mean to be, bring this down to a very base level, but can I ask you how sexy the ghost was?
I wouldn't with yours, Trev. It was not good. It was, she was probably 50s. Victorian era, judging by the long white dress.
They always are, though, aren't they? They always are. You never get a ghost in a shell suit, do you?
No, or fancy dress.
No. I'd love to see a ghost in a clown outfit.
Brilliant. I mean, obviously, it was just that still stare.
This week, a photograph's appeared to show the sexiest, Britain's sexiest ghost.
Oh.
She haunts a museum in a low-cut top. Now, I didn't think this is what I was going to say, you see, because you're talking about it being Victorian. I'd never heard of a sexy ghost before. Like, have we reached a new phase in hauntings?
I think Pornhub have run out of genres.
I'd be willing to bet that's on there.
What, ghost porn?
I guarantee it.
I'm not Googling it.
Okay, I'll let my internet take the hit.
Ben's going to Google Ghost porn
is a thing on Pornhub.
I tell you what, Mrs. Ben, you might not see him for a little while.
Yeah, clear your internet history, Ben, because if anyone sees that, it doesn't really know you. That's just a little odd.
Yeah. First hit, invisible ghost gangbang.
No.
And there is plenty more, but they're too rude for me to read them all out.
Yeah. I rather wish I'd have read the first one. I mean... Right, another round of the humming game, because I think the first round was a huge success.
I forgot we had more rounds of this to play.
Well, I think Andy's been waiting in anticipation for this. Have you both been thinking of a song you can hum, or do you want to do a random iTunes thing? I don't know how you're working where you are.
I've got a song ready to go.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that I've picked someone a song so easy to get.
Okay.
This will be over quickly.
Right, okay.
Brilliant. I like your thinking, Ben.
Okay, let's go for it then. Hum away, mate.
Yellow Submarine.
Thank you, Andy. Well played, mate.
I mean, there's a way to make a game quick and funless.
Okay. Well, yeah, there is that element to it.
Quick and painless.
Quick and painless. Okay, all right, well done. Andy, have you got a song?
And we'll get a point.
I'm going to do the chorus.
Okay.
Of this song.
Go on, yeah.
Do you want a clue, or do we not?
No, not yet. Let's get the humming done. Ooh.
Sounds a bit like London's Bridge is Falling Down.
London's Bridge is Falling Down? Do it again for us, Andy. Bridge is falling down, falling down. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Ooh, I don't know.
I'll give you a clue, a very, very cryptic one, but it's a good clue.
All right, yeah.
Welsh/Australian.
Welsh/Australian. There's an accent I'd love to hear. be sort of very Welsh, but with an up inflection at the end, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like, where are we off to, boyo? It'd be like that. That's Welsh Australian for you. I've nailed it.
That was just Welsh. I didn't get a trace of Australian.
No, but it was the up inflection at the end, wasn't it?
But Welsh often has an up inflection at the end of it.
It's a bit racist, Ben.
Does it?
Yeah. Oh, all Welsh people sound
hang
the same.
On,
don't
hang
they?
On.
Last week
minute.
You were having a go at the Japanese.
No.
This
shut
week
up.
Is the Welsh. Listen, honestly, listen. I think we're uncovering a lot about Ben during lockdown.
Listen to me. Why is it okay for you to suggest the Australians have an upward inflection, but when I suggest the Welsh do, that makes me the racist?
Because the Australians certainly always do. The Welsh, I don't know what you're talking about, mate. Honestly, just pure Welsh. Welsh Australian. Let's hear it again, Andy. Can you think of any Welsh Australian artists, Ben?
I'm not talking to you anymore.
Oh, I can't believe
this. She was very neighbourly.
Okay.
It's going to be... hang on a minute.
Well, Kylie's not Welsh.
Kylie Minogue.
What about Holly Valance? Was Holly Valance
No,
Welsh?
Kylie Minogue. You're right. First time.
Didn't know she had any Welsh in her.
Plenty from what I heard. No, family. A lot of her family. I think it was her mum was Welsh.
Really? Right. So, is it...
spinning around.
No, it must be a big one. I should be so lucky.
Yeah!
Bang on.
I should be so lucky the game is finally fucking finished.
Now, Andy, what we do on the podcast, what we've been doing during lockdown, is giving recommendations of things for people to watch or listen to. Have you been watching anything good during lockdown you can recommend?
The best film I've seen... is Extraction. Great, great film. And there's one film, well, it's a documentary. If you've got Netflix, you can get it on YouTube. It's called Heal, H-E-A-L. And it looks at an alternative way of coping with mental health problems, illnesses, apart from the traditional route of medicine and chemotherapy and everything. It's actually fascinating. The research is there to back it up and prove it. And if anyone's sort of struggling with anything, just watch it because it's superb.
That's great. Andy, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. It's been great to talk to you. It's been great to link up again after a year or so since we all left the radio station. So thanks very much and we wish you well.
Cheers, Andy.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. Maybe not so much the game, but talking to you boys is always fun.
Well, that's almost it for another Trev and Ben podcast. It was great to talk to Andy again after all this time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's nice to hear him.
Yeah, and I know we got a little bit serious there, but I think it's an important issue. I think it's good to talk about it. We were talking about recommendations. You got any recommendations this week?
I do. I remember a week or two ago I recommended to you that I found this YouTube show called Hot Ones.
Oh, yes.
And staying on the cooking theme, if you enjoy food or you're a bit of a foodie, I can also recommend another gem I've discovered, which is Sam the Cooking Guy. He's a Canadian who lives in America, and he just has this amazing setup, and he owns a couple of restaurants, and he just cooks, and some of the stuff he makes is absolutely mouthwatering. So I've been desperate to get on the barbecue at the moment. And the other thing I really want to recommend, which won't be there, I assume, forever, because it's on the iPlayer, is Charlie Brooker's Antiviral Wipe, which aired on Thursday. That was amazing.
Yes.
If you need a laugh, put that on.
Yeah, very good. I want to recommend a documentary that you can find on BBC Sounds. It's hosted by Adam Buxton, and it's called Adam Buxton and the Human Horn.
Okay, that sounds odd.
And he's known as the world's weirdest scat singer. His real name is William Shooby Taylor. Shooby boo boo, shooby boo.
Well, I think I've heard of this guy, because I'm a big fan of the Adam Buxton podcast.
Yeah.
I've heard this guy mentioned before.
Well, he's done a little documentary about him. It's a really good listen, really fascinating, even if you've never heard of the human horn. Anyway, that's about it. Thank you very much for downloading and listening. Don't forget to review and subscribe and all that stuff. And just a reminder, if you did feel you need to talk to anyone about any mental health issues, don't forget the Samaritans number is 116123. It's a free phone call. Other organisations are available for you to talk to. So if you do need to talk to somebody, it's very important to do so. And we will catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, and take it easy.
Bye.